What is up, everybody? This is Joffer Papa Pump Penazai, aka what the fuck are you doing, man? With my co-host,
Josh. That was a treat too.
I know, that was a good one.
I want to stare deeply into your never-ending eyes.
I was lost for a second. With my co-host, John DeMatt Maz, and we got a good friend of mine on the podcast today, a strength conditioning coach, former Muay Thai and boxing competitor, and right now a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioner, Mr. Gavin Van Vlack. How you doing, sir?
Woo! Oh, shit.
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
So, Gavin, for a lot of the people we have on our podcast, listening to our podcast, some are familiar with you, some are not. Just give us a little rundown on who you are and why these motherfuckers should be following you.
I'm kind of weird about that. It's like, should they be following me? I don't know. I use some really, really what's considered to be like unorthodox techniques in strength training, but I don't consider them to be that unorthodox because the people that I tend to keep around me, we use the same modalities, and we get results. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's success is based off standing on the shoulders of giants. And I've been really lucky to be around, like, my core peer group of people that are really, really in love with the whole fitness community and the physical culture community in general. And we carry this same passion. And there's always an interplay of information back and forth. I don't believe in competition. And it's a weird thing, especially with it's less with coaches, but it's more with trainers. Trainers talk about competition. That's an obsoleted methodology of thinking. You need to have, I mean, seriously, as fitness professionals, you need to network like Al-Qaeda. Seriously, you need to have all sorts of like friends that you can go to because what's up?
Do you think coaches that are scared of competition, maybe their system
you're
fucking
frozen.
Do you think if those coaches that are scared of competition, their system sucks?
I don't think the system sucks. I just think they're not sure of it. The stuff that I use tends to be the stuff that's proven. I mean, there's an 80-20 rule in business, and really, quite honestly, the same really does apply in fitness. 80% of your gains are from 20% of your movements. I mean, I'm a big fan of the fundamentals. I believe that without fundamentals, you need to have that foundation.
And if you don't use fundamentals, it's not going to be fun.
Reading is fundamental. I mean, well, the funny thing is, really, keep using FUN here, is that the fundamental stuff, a lot of times, it isn't the sexy stuff that you're seeing on YouTube, where you have to delineate on a lot of that stuff where people are posting this stuff, and that's more of a feat of strength. It's not really stuff that I would prescribe into someone's actual training methodology. Like, do I think the muscle up is great? I think it's an awesome feat of strength.
I can do five of them.
Do I see it as being an ideal for the general population, for some poor guy who's just getting off the couch, as being part of a workout? No. Do I see him breaking the substrates down so he can work towards doing a muscle-up? No. I see him being able to move comfortably first within his own body, and then maybe down the road, once he's gone through that novice stage of strength training, then you work towards your feats of strength.
Now, what I want people to realize is, where are you currently working, and how has your whole past and, you know, all your experience led you to where you are currently?
I'm currently based out of myself and the Physical Culture Collective, the PCC. We're based out of King's Thai Boxing on, write this down, 35 West 36th Street. That's between 5th and 6th Avenue in New York City.
That's way too many fives and sixes.
It's. I find it easy.
I'm only kidding.
We've been working out of there for about the past 6 months. We were previously at Chok Savai Muay Thai on 30th and 5th.
You have a great relationship with the owner of that gym, right?
Owner of which gym?
Of Chok Savai.
I have a great relationship with everyone.
That's the best answer ever.
Awesome. I have. the relationships that I have with each and every person are the ideal relationships that they can be.
I don't believe you.
And it's you know, we've been at King's, and it's been really cool because the people there didn't really, they had like the tools, they had kettlebells, they had free weights and stuff, but a lot of people really didn't know how to make this stuff work. And it's, I mean, for example, tonight's class, it was a really standard strength and conditioning class. We just did some groove greasing, like just getting some basic skills down. And it's cool because I'm starting to see some people come out of their shells and be like, hey, I want to try to move a little more weight, especially when you're dealing with female members and clients, because females are always told, like, distracted and told to, like, move away. You don't want to move heavy weight because it's going to bulk you up, which I'll say right now is one of the biggest fucking lies in fitness. They use that so that they can sell you other products and sell you other pills and sell you diet plans and all that crap. And, it's really sad because women are really targeted hard in the fitness industry. The problem is that they just won't let women be who they are. Women are always forced to have some kind of like physical Barbie doll-esque ideal that they're supposed to pursue after. Because if they don't have that, then they're not desirable to men and so on and so forth.
I agree. I thought women were just supposed to make babies and cook dinner.
Joffer, I know your girlfriend. I'm a big fan of full grown women.
I agree with you.
It's like if a girl is skinny, that's all well and good. But a girl who's pursued skinny to a point where she's gotten herself unhealthy, I find unhealthy to be really damn unsexy.
Well, you know, there's a hashtag you always use when you
fits.
Yes, that one too. what? There's a hashtag that you always use. Strong is the new skinny.
Don't tell that.
Yes, that one too. But use strong is the new skinny, and I absolutely strong agree with that.
Strong is the new skinny. It's funny because I have prospective female clients, and I have other people's clients come up to me, and they ask about clients of mine who they're. I mean, like I'll just out bring their names up. Like Kurt, like I'll use their nicknames that we use from Cursebox and Sparky. They're two girls who are, you know,
single.
For lack of a better word, they're skinny girls, but they're athletes. And that is their genetic type. That's how they are. Both of them, Cursebox can deadlift 185 for 3 reps. You know, Sparky can pull 165 for I think 5 reps right now. And these girls are strong. They're not afraid of moving weight. And they've gotten the results that they've gotten through proper diet, proper training, and, you know, walking a walk, so to speak.
I have a question. Do you think either of those chicks are into me?
I don't know. What's your social standing?
I mean, what does that
mean? I mean, first off, you're hanging out with utterly handsome guys, which isn't good because it's hard to look good looking next to him, man. It's like... You're putting yourself at a severe disadvantage.
I just want his leftovers. That's why I hang out with him.
Oh, dude, I'd bang him.
I mean, I look myself in the mirror, and sometimes I think about myself just, jerking off to the thought of myself jerking off.
Doesn't that, like, defy quantum physics?
It's like I'm a looper. Straight you know, theory. I'm going back.
Okay, so we're down to like 3 listeners now.
I think so. Now,
have we alienated everyone? But you know what? And I gotta just bring this up too because I know, Joff, I know we talked about this recently. It sucks because there's a lot of great things out there in the fitness community that I really love, but in the strength community, I've a few coaches. I've caught this overtone of like homophobia. There's no fucking room for that shit. I really don't. I mean, I've got a lot of my peer group comes from the gay community. I have several clients from the gay community who are not just clients, but good friends. And really, if you're really that obsessed and worried about where someone is rubbing their genitals, you know, who someone, as long as it's someone of consent, and it's really just, it's immature shit. It's frat boy immature shit. And I personally don't find it acceptable, and I know that I might lose a few people that might be followers, but you know what? I'm not worried about that. That's not important to me. There's bigger things to worry about.
Well, I agree with you.
I just think that's great.
That was the worst addition that I've ever heard in my life.
No, I agree with you because in the job that I work in, I'm pretty much a minority being a heterosexual dude. So I've been like really adamant on being able to accept people for their differences. And like I'm okay with that because who am I to judge? I'm not fucking perfect by any means. I'm a perfect asshole.
There you go.
But...
yeah, I'm a Lower East Side kid, and it's kind of like all of us down here, where it's like kind of raised by wolves and drag queens. So it's and quite honestly, I've seen it from the other side too. I've been called a breeder with discriminative overtones before. I've been called a hetero with like with the same. You might as well call me a wetback. And it's like I'll use that term because I'm half Mexican, and I have been called a wetback before. But it's just discrimination on either side of it. And I know we're getting a little off track here. It's stupid shit. It's really, really foolish shit.
No, I agree with you. Now, to ask you a question, what is the physical culture? I'm sure you mentioned it before. And who comprises it? Because, you said you're...
Physical culture in general is just anything that we do. I mean, if you think about it, if you're into your diet... if you're into, us, we're movement nuts. We're always, I know you're the same way as, same thing I am. If you find like a different modality of movement, you kind of delve into it and play around with it a little bit and see what works and see what doesn't. And the whole thing about physical culture to me is finding your play. And I think that's defined best by like coaches like Jason C. Brown and Steve Maxwell, John Hines, people like that, where exercise really, why do you want to work out when really you could just fucking play? And that's the great thing about coming from a martial arts background with jiu-jitsu and judo and Muay Thai and capoeira. It's like it's unstructured play, which is what, as humans, is so important. And it's kind of what's driving people out of the big box gyms, which I'm not going to mention the names, but the big box gyms in general, and into the smaller studio type gyms and the dojos and the Muay Thais, and like, and that's what's helping strengthen our community, is because people want to play. No one wants to get onto a fucking elliptical and see what fucking Kardashian is marrying what other fucking idiot. Well, I know what people do want to watch that. And there's a cult of personality behind that. But
more, yeah, but those people are fucking retards.
They're just lost, and it's like, I hope for them, and I hope eventually they come around because they're missing out on life. Which is such an awesome... Gavin sounded like a fucking hippie now. Life, it's such an awesome thing. Hold it. Product placement change. Here we go. Okay.
there. Well, what do you think about since,
just CrossFit Venice. Okay. it's funny because it's become a thing that's become very recent. And then maybe the past year, I see more and more of it. I see it in the press, and I see it... more and more on YouTube with, especially like the parkour community and, people like the bartenders, the barbarians, all that stuff.
Stars and bars. It's become
really kind of play-based. And I think that's great. We need to play. You have to find your play. And I'm not saying like, you need to go out and join a Muay Thai gym. Go to a dance studio. Take up tumbling.
Pole dancing is something more girls should be taking up.
Yeah.
I worked the pole. She worked. How's that song go?
Something like, yeah. I agree. Anything fun.
I've got nothing wrong with women paying $40 an hour to try to develop the bodies of women who have daddy issues. But that's fucked up because I have friends who work in the sex industry, and it's like,
I never met them.
How much do they charge?
I mean, Joffrey, you know me. No one is off limits for me. We all pick on each other pretty much equally. So, pole dancing. Pole dancing is nothing more than gymnastics. Pole dancing is nothing more than like, let's say, silks. I've got a bunch of friends in the silks community, and I mean they're amazing, amazing athletes, and I can't, argue with anybody who wants to follow some kind of endeavor. And I don't care what kind of martial art, whether it be Tai Chi, Aikido, Taekwondo, just get out there and find what brings you that joy. Find what your why is. And that's a big thing. Like, you know, Martin Rooney talks about it. Martin isn't the first one to talk about it. Dan John's talked about it. What's your why? Why do you want to do this? You know, and that's what brings the community together, is that everybody may have a different why, but we all have a why, and we're all kind of working towards that. And that's what brings us towards, like, you know, into the dojos and so on, the playgrounds that we choose. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Now, my question I got to ask you, because basically you defined what your outtake is on training, basically find what moves you. You yourself right now, I like to call it, you have your own clique right now that you work closely with. Who comprises your group, and what are your goals as a collective right now? What is Gavin Van Black's plan to rule over the world?
Oh, you mean, what set am I tripping, you mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
The Physical Culture Collective. It was an idea that I had back at Chaksabai, because we had a bunch of people, myself, Jenny Livingston, who was the yoga instructor there, Naomi Cookson, who was one of the coaches, Zach Dom, who was a trainer there and a fighter out of Chaksabai, and Lev Bukharov, who, I know you know Lev, he's a freaking outstanding physical therapist.
We love him. And a really good fighter himself.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast. He's the man.
Everybody says that should be a bumper sticker. I love Lev. He's a great guy, and we all came around this idea, like, you know, that we had this little collective and we wanted to do something about it. So I kind of put together a website, and it's developing into something now, which is really cool, because we've started booking like semi-private sessions, and we have templates that we follow, and they work really well towards getting, you know, people always, like, when I talk people with business, they talk in competition, and I don't like to think in competition with people. I'm really in competition with a television set, shitty food, and couches. You know, those are the things I'm trying to get people away from.
Bars,
at least for a little bit of time. Hey, bars, dude, I can't say, you know, like, bars. Like, I'm a huge fan of drugs and alcohol. I just don't use them. You know, it's like, I just, you know, it's like, bars, yeah. I mean, you can't be spending too much time in bars, because, you know, it's, I'm living proof of it. You wait, it burns time, and time's the one thing you can't get back.
I agree 100%. And, you know.
As a kid, I spent a lot of time. I love that. As a kid, that says how old I am, and I grew up in New York.
Back in the heyday.
As a kid, I spent a lot of time in bars. But, yeah, it's not a good habit to have. I mean, your success is kind of defined by what your habits are.
Well, I got some bad habits.
Hey, you know, none of us... Okay, here we go. None of us are perfect, okay? What do we, you know, we strive towards perfection? Sure, perfection is unattainable, but we can attain excellence.
I agree. And who even really knows what perfection is?
Me?
Oh, fuck.
This guy. Now, I gotta ask you right now, you know, Gavin, you have been involved in the Muay Thai scene. You're currently playing jiu-jitsu. Tell us a little bit about your Muay Thai and fighting career, and tell us how you made the transition now to really becoming a big jiu-jitsu fan.
It was weird. Like, I fought for probably about 10 years, and, you know, I fought as a journeyman fighter, and I fought in the super heavyweight division, which was, you know, I had an amateur career, which back then wasn't that, we didn't have an amateur careers done out long. It was kind of like, lost you.
Oh, we're back.
You guys there?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. We didn't have amateur careers that long, and I kind of happened to, like, they were like, oh, well, we need you to fight pro tonight, and boom. My first fight was a pro fight against Modi Hornstein, and I just continued to fight, and it wasn't really anything about, you know, the money, like, because now you see a lot of people like, oh, well, you know, I'm gonna become a big-time fighter. There still doesn't seem to be real money in it. But after a while, like, you start healing up slower, and, you know, things start to hurt more, and I started seeing guys that, the smart guys that I knew were getting out of the sport and were starting to not fight, and some of the other guys kind of stayed in, and you notice they start to slur their S's, and they don't have, the same cognitive response that, you know, you want to have, And after that, I kind of went into judo because it seemed interesting to me, and it seemed different. And I competed at judo. I got up to a green belt level, was undefeated in judo. I was having a really good time. It's when I was still at 5 points. And I decided, like, they had started doing some jiu-jitsu at 5 points, and I was getting my ass flipped on the ground. So I decided what I was going to do was I was going to, like, supplement it by joining another, a straight-up jiu-jitsu school. So I called Marcelo Garcia's, I called Alliance, and I called Clockwork. Oh, hold a second. Product placement. Clockwork. Russ from Clockwork got back to me within 30 minutes. Marcelo's people got back to me about 3 days later, and I still to this day have not heard from Alliance.
Sons of bitches.
I ended up going to Clockwork, and I fell in love with it. Like, no, it was a community in the atmosphere, and at first, and the jiu-jitsu was just amazing. And Josh is just, I've learned so much about being a good coach and a good teacher, and just a lot of things on a personal level from Josh Griffiths. You know, dealing with people and problem solving, especially, because that's really what we do as coaches, is we're problem solvers. And I've competed a bit in jiu-jitsu. I've done like 5 or 6 competitions, and I medaled in a couple of them. I want to get back to competing, but right now it's just business is really, really busy, and I'm not going to fool myself. It's like, you know, I'm 46 years old. Would I like to compete? Sure, I'd love to compete, but priorities are priorities. And the transition from Muay Thai was really weird because it felt different. And then all of a sudden, as a martial artist, you start to see the similarities. Like, there's this matrix, and all of a sudden, you start to see, like, oh, wow. You know, it's like, it's all angles and degrees and tension and momentum and leverage. And, you know, we're all third-class lever systems. And really, you start to understand that there's a lot of things that overlap. And, it's jiu-jitsu's definitely made, and this is, I know a lot of Muay Thai guys and a lot of jiu-jitsu guys, oh no, they're such different, they're totally different. No, they're very much the same. There's a lot of familiarity, to me at least, between the two, you know?
Oh, 100%, 100%.
I love them. I mean, I love them both. I've actually just recently gotten back to doing more Muay Thai.
Yeah. Go for it.
But yeah, I started to realize, like, I really missed it, and it was like, it's weird too, because you realize I've learned more about coaching and actually being a good training partner since I quit fighting, and I think that's what really is the important thing, is to be a good training partner for people, and for them to have access to that is really important. I mean, I've told you before, Joffer, I believe that, you know, you can judge the quality of a facility by the access to good training partners. And, when I first came up, like, we used to bang a lot, and it was really, I mean, it was hard sparring a lot of the time, and, it's just abusive. And after I quit fighting, I started to realize, wow, I was really being a jerk. Like, I would go in and just be hammering on people. And, like I said, it's 2020 hindsight, and I think I know so much more about being, like, a decent coach, a good coach and a good training partner now, which is important, because that's really all I can be, because I'm not entertaining any thoughts of, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to have a comeback Muay Thai fight. I just don't see it in the cards right now, you know? But that's, you know, that's, like, where I stand with, like, Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. I mean, I'm a purple belt under Josh Griffiths at Clockwork. I'm there at a minimum 4 days a week. I friggin' love the art. And I'm the same way about, like, training Muay Thai, too. It's like, I've gotten to train more Muay Thai, and it's like, it's really fun because you start to learn. And I'm working with Daria Albers, which, Joff, you know how it's like working with her.
She's amazing. She's
astounding. And it just opens up, like, you know, it's like, that's the great thing about martial arts, is that you really don't, you learn to your capacity. And if you always remain able to be taught, you're always able to learn. And it's a redundant statement, I understand. But there's just so much more you can learn, and there's so much you can change in your style consecutively. And, you know, you learn things and you discard things, and then you learn things back again, and then you forget things, and then you learn it again, and you're like, oh, wow, I forgot how much I love this technique. Certain things like that, they're just priceless.
I always just say, don't sweat the technique.
What? Don't sweat the technique. Just have fun.
It's an old rap lingo.
Oh, okay.
Before you were born.
Before my time. Okay, so now we got to ask you, Gavin, in general, where do you see yourself as a trainer evolving in the next, let's say, next couple years, and any specific shout-outs while we have you?
Oh, God. Where do I see myself as a trainer? There's just so many guys that I look at as coaches that... I mean, I like where I'm at right now, to where the athletes that I work with, they have great confidence in me. There's a level of trust that is just so profound and so heartwarming, because they really, you know, they trust me as a coach and they trust me as a friend, and it's amazing. And I look at other coaches, like, you know, people who've been in the game as long as I have or longer. I mean, one person that we both look up to, Eric Haycraft. You know, I think Eric is one of the most humble, awesome, open people when it comes to, you know, American Muay Thai, and just always, like, willing to, like, help out and, you know, teach and share knowledge. Chris Riley, who owns Legends, a good friend of mine, also another great coach, another great fighter. You know, there's so many really good coaches, and I see they run really good programs. I think the program that Haycraft runs is really amazing, too, because he's got a big general population, but they all train like total badasses, you know? Again, I can't, you know, I have to look also across the pond to, you know, Darnell Nock and Daria Albers at Hammer Gym, and the athletes that they put together. And, you know, the community that they've built at Hammer is stellar, you know, beyond anybody's imagination, how great what they've done with, you know, with kickboxing and Muay Thai. Their athletes are great. I mean, Marco, who just won the heavyweight world title, you know, a great guy. I've held pads for him, talked with him personally. Just an honest, sweet individual, but a total fucking badass. There's so many people that I'm lucky to have in my circle to look up to. Someone is a business person, Tate Fletcher, who's a very, like, a good friend of mine, and I work for him with, you know, Caveman Coffee Company. Tate's got his hands on a lot of pies, and he's doing a lot of different things. And Tate's whole MO is just about, like, let's make something cool happen out of this. It's not about the money. It's not about prestige. It's just having this community that is just benefiting on a, like, just blanket benefiting off of just a great concept. And again, that goes into, like, you know, Deuce CrossFit in LA. Logan, who owns that, is another person who's established great community. Those are the people that I look up to. Where do I see myself being in a couple years? I'm not that smart. I'm not that smart. I really take things on a day-by-day basis, and I try to make the best of the opportunities that are shown to me. Right now, what my life is amazing. I mean, I work at King's, which is great. The owners the people that own that place totally opened their doors to me when I came there, and have been just so generous about everything to me and my staff, which I feel weird calling them staff because they're my friends, but they are a staff. You know, and they've been really generous and helpful. Right now, I'm not bleeding. I'm not on fire. Everything's really awesome. You know, do I have dreams? I would love to open an awesome facility and have enough money that I would not have to charge anybody ever to come train. That's what I would love. Okay, is that going to happen? I can't say it's going to happen. like, you know, I'm lucky to be involved in the community as it is. And as you know, we've got amazing people that are in this community. I mean, I'm watching dreams come true on a daily basis, i.e. Angie Hill, a girl who has worked her ass off to be where she is. And I'm just thinking, like, every time I see, like, a, like an Instagram or a Facebook post, I'm just so, like, psyched for her, because she's living, you know, she's living a dream. It's, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. You know, living heroically, doing shit that's just so, to some people, outlandish. You know, you're going to do that. Why would you want to do that? Why not do that? People are just cowards with their time. You know, they hide their time from, you know, having an amazing life. Oh, well, I don't want to take risks. You know, you don't risk anything. You don't gain anything. It's all about the risk.
Risk versus reward. I choose dare. Yeah. Truth or dare. Now, we have one final segment that we always look forward to doing with all our guests, and that is our random question, which both of us...
Mary fuck kill?
What's that?
Mary fuck kill?
No, that was Julie Kitchen. which, Julie, if you're listening, I love you.
Julie, don't kill me.
So... We're both going to ask you one random question. We don't think about it. It's completely just off the top of our head. I don't even know what you're showing right now. Okay, so my random question right now is... What is this?
It's a fuck, marry, kill from the subway.
Okay, see?
It's a fuck, marry, kill from the subway. Some Snapchat I got.
Okay, so mine. Here's mine. I got a good one. Okay. Out of all the people within New York that you have had to deal with, from a business perspective, whatever it may be, who is the most obnoxious out of all of them, and so obnoxious that you just wanted to throw them down a flight of stairs?
Marcus Antebi.
Why do I feel like I may not know that name?
The owner of the juice press.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Okay, so now I'm going to make sure he knows that. No.
That's all good.
All right, my question is, you said you grew up on the Lower East Side. Over on six people you may or may not have allegedly stabbed growing up.
Shit. Like stabbed with a knife?
Or your dick, I'm not sure.
No, any kind of blunt instrument.
Stabbing someone with a blunt instrument, that's fucked up.
I know.
Usually you want to have fucking, like, shit sharpened. I mean, god damn it, have a little courtesy when you're stabbing someone.
Look, you just crossed the border of Mexico. It's possible.
It's like, I'm going to stab you with a hammer.
Yeah, I wish.
No, that's bludgeoning. That's like punching someone with a knife.
So more or less than six?
I'd like to think less.
You're unsure?
Yes.
Well, you know,
I have a bad reputation before a certain age.
Statute of limitations is only 7 years, so.
And
I know.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. So that's got to apply to something, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay, so KG, thank you for making.
Mean, like I said, dude, I used to drink a lot. There was a lot of. Well, what was that?
No, nothing. Go on, brother.
Yeah, like I said, I used to drink a lot, so there was like stuff. People call it blackouts. I prefer to call it time travel. that like. Yes, I really honestly cannot answer that.
All right, so I think his unanswer is the answer.
That's fair enough, though. At least he's honest.
Yes. So we really want to thank you for your time, and, you know, we definitely look forward to having you on the show again, and just keep doing what you're doing, because what you're producing, what you're putting out there is definitely an inspiration. In a way, I really see the fitness business should be moving towards, which is functional training, and you're putting out a great vibe. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And like, all I can say to anybody out there, go out and find your play. It's out there.
Or in your pants, one of the two.
Oh, God. Later, guys.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Hey.